Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Father, as we gather here in the sanctuary of your safety, we thank you for the fellowship and families that we have here. We ask that you would strengthen us. We ask that you would restore us and inspire us in your love that you have for us. We ask you, Father, to please fill us full of your peace that you provide through Jesus Christ. And so that as we journey onwards, we ask that you would let us be able to pour out the love that you have given us and the grace that you have given us to others who are around us. We ask today that our souls would catch the wind of your Spirit and revive us, Father, so that we can take your promises to those all around us. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, this morning I'd like to be in the book of Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 37 to be specific. And I'm sure many of you, when you were growing up, as well as myself, remember cicada, when the locusts filled the trees around this time of season. During the heat of summer, you can hear their shrill sound of buzzing, and their mating can be filled in that you can just hear all around you in the air, that shrill sound. And to this day, whenever we come to this time of year in this hot, dry weather, I remember that buzzing sound, and you can probably hear it a lot of times today as well as next week. But what was fun was when you'd see on the tree trunks these empty shells of a living organism in a dead, dried out, fragile exoskeleton that still kind of somewhat retained the form of a locust. I mean, the life was gone out of it, but then the locust was no longer there, and all that was left was an exoskeleton. And then for somehow, its lifeless claws still held to that trunk of that tree. And as kids, it was fun because we, you know, plop the empty shells off the tree, throw them on the ground, and listen to them pop as we crushed them under our feet. Even better yet, it was fun to take them into the house and put them in your mom's hair or lay them somewhere where she would find them in the kitchen. So, and just to hear and get a rise out of her for that. But those were fun times with those little cicada exoskeleton shells. I'd like to speak to you this morning about how putting things right starts with a fresh look, as what the Lord has to say. Starting right to get a fresh look. The title of my message today is A Dry Situation. Are you ready to worship through the message this morning? All right, join with me in saying, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. One more time. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You know, there's especially times during the summertime and the hot as it's going to be. You get headaches, you get dizziness, you get dry mouth, and you get low blood pressure. We can experience all of these during this heat wave, or I guess as the weathermen call it, the heat dome is parked over us. And these are just some of the symptoms that our body experiences when we're becoming physically dehydrated. And likewise, on the spiritual level, our lives suffer whenever we become spiritually parched inside of our spirit and empty. And this morning, I'd like to look at how God will take some dry, dead faith and be able to fill it with life and vitality. Because whenever we feel spiritually dry, just as if it feels like you've been confined to like an endless desert, and where your spiritual lives can just feel dry and lifeless, and your faith is just kind of drooping down. That's why it's so great when the kids go to Falls Creek to get that boost during the summertime. But, you know, interestingly enough, oftentimes the spiritually parched seasons that we have in our life, they don't just necessarily come out of nowhere. I mean, maybe you've walked through a hard situation and now you found yourself living in sin, or maybe you've been just worshiping kind of half-heartedly. You just don't really feel like you want to get into it anymore. Or maybe you've just kind of felt the sting of complacency kind of set in to where your time with God in the Word and in the worship just is just kind of, you know, blasé, to the point to where you'd rather than just thirsting for the satisfaction of being quenched in the Holy Spirit and what God has to say to you, you just kind of read the Bible and you just kind of, you know, stare blank at it like, okay, it's just words. And therefore, when that happens, we tend to ignore it and it grows dust on it sitting on the shelf. We feel emotionless and lack that excitement to bear fruit in the kingdom as God would like us to do. The fire that we had inside of us for God, the Bible and the fellowship, even the fellowship with other believers, you find yourself just like, I just don't feel like going to church today. And just the fellowship with your other believers has now kind of just depreciated into a small, puny little flame. And before you know it, we've wandered off into this spiritual desert of dryness, and before you know it, even more, you've been there too long. And you lift up your eyes and all that you see is this unending sand and suffocating heat, and maybe you can even hear the shrill of those locusts in the back of your mind, and the pressure just kind of seems to bear down on us. And sometimes, you know, when you're out there too long, that weight even just seems too much to bear down on us. Because our hearts have been dry for so long that we don't believe that we have the strength to climb out of the desert. And that's where a lot of believers are now, is when, especially going through this COVID, this pandemic, of being out of the fellowship for many months, if not years, and they're ending up into a parched desert. They become complacent. They become comfortable and not attending church with their believers. But what many people don't understand is that your situation in life that you're in, your circumstances that you're now going through, are tied to your spiritual foundation. And that's why it's so important for the young people to go to Falls Creek and spiritual camps like this, to get, while they're young, to get that foundation to, so they can become excited in God and become excited in hanging around with other teens and young people that have that faith that they have. Let's look at our passage this morning in Ezekiel chapter 37. Because a lot of times we forget that our spiritual situation is connected to the social dilemma that we're going in. Let's look at the first 10 verses of Ezekiel chapter 37. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass among them round them, and behold, there were many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the word of God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, that you may come to life. And I will put sinews on you, and make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. He said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, to say to the breath, Thus says the Lord, Come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army." So, Ezekiel kind of must have felt desolate and useless standing there looking at these pile of bones in a startling vision. I mean, the prophet sat there in the middle of the valley, and he knew that really only a miracle can do what God wants me to say to these things, could bring back together a decimated and scattered people. But yet as Ezekiel stood there watching, a miracle of life took place. Where before you just had this landscape of bones scattered throughout this valley, this hopeless situation that he'd run upon, and God was trying to teach Ezekiel an object lesson here, because what he was looking at is the nation of Israel and what they were facing now. They've been cut off They've been disconnected from me, from God, and now chaos rules. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Been disconnected, and now chaos rules. What do you see in the news all the time here lately? It's just chaos. But in the middle of this chaos, God has reminded the prophet Ezekiel of the promises that he made. God made a promise to his people, as he always does. And that promise is stated in the previous chapter of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24, to be specific. It states that I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. And this is referring to Israel in the Old Testament, that he'd made a promise to them in spite of the fact that he says, now I'm going to spank you for your disobedience. But there will be a day. There will come a day when I will bring you back home. And so God says to Ezekiel, he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to prophesy. I want you to speak my word into this situation. Have you ever done that with the word of God? Have you ever spoke his word into a situation that you're going through? And you're saying, well, Eric, what do you mean? God's really never told me a word to speak to a situation. Well, try getting out the word of God and just read a verse. Re-speak a verse into your situation. It'll increase your faith. It will. He says, Ezekiel, I want you to talk to these bones, these dry bones, to this hopeless situation that you see before you, and I want you to let them hear from the word of the Lord, what I have to say to you. Now, they didn't have Bibles back then, but God spoke to the prophets to say the word of the Lord. And he says, Ezekiel, now I don't want you to tell them what you think. I know you're very educated in me, and I know that you know my words, but I don't want you to tell them what you think. I don't want you to give them any human ideas or opinions. I don't want you to give them the popular viewpoint of the day. You know, I don't want you to try to cater to their emotional well-being. I don't want you to give them any psychological analysis. I don't want you to give them any humanistic points of view. I don't want you to get on your soapbox and say what you think's wrong with the nation of Israel. I don't want you to give them the latest Gallup poll so that they know what most other folk think. He says, I don't want you to give them what will make them feel good. I mean, many of you today that are here will leave here feeling okay. But if the wrong person and the wrong thing says the wrong thing at the wrong time in the wrong way on your way to the car, presumably that person will be riding in the car with you. If they say the wrong thing at the wrong time in the wrong way, then all of your religion, all those good feelings that you had while you were in the service will dissipate for some reason or another. Why? Because it's unreliable. They are unreliable. If a person cuts you off while you're driving, or even while you're trying to change lanes, or even while you're trying to merge on the highway, you might end up using some language that's straight from hell. And who knows what kind of signs you may give them, or verbal shouts. But hey, didn't you just come to church? So that's the problem a lot of times that we have when facing God and relying on things that we shouldn't do and just things that way. But back when Ezekiel was prophesying, Ezekiel says, do you want me to give these dry bones the word of the Lord? And God would reply, yes, because until they become very dry, they're not willing to listen. You see, as long as they're not dry, as long as they think that they can do this or that on their own, as long as they think that they have enough education to pull it off on their own, as long as they think that they have enough money in their bank accounts or their credit cards are working for them, even though they're not haven't paid attention to the 18% interest they charge, as long as they can pull it off themselves, then they're not dry enough. And God did not call Ezekiel to this valley until those bones were very dry. Because God wanted them to be so low in their own view that they recognized themselves that they were in a hopeless situation and are cut off. And they say to themselves, okay, we can't fix this ourselves. And it's our spiritual rebellion that caused this, our greed. And it was only until they recognized the spiritual rebellion, and by being put in this low valley, that you recognize that we cannot fix this. Speaking of the nation of Israel, but using these dry bones as an example. And he says, now, prophet, you can talk, because the bones are dry. And now it's time for you to speak the word of the Lord. Because over and over again in the Old Testament, the prophets would be speaking the word of the Lord, because the Bible says that there was a famine for the word of the Lord. Now, there wasn't a famine for going to church. There wasn't a famine for going to the temple. There wasn't a famine for religion. There wasn't a famine for singing any songs. But there was a famine for spiritual truth. Because, you see, everybody wants to come to church for a stimulus, an emotional stimulus of some sort. Because everybody wants to receive or hear a stimulus package. Well, let me invite you into the Situation Room this morning. You know, everybody wants a stimulus package because everybody wants something that's going to stimulate them. You know, just how they stimulated the economy a couple of years ago and people come to church the same way, they want a stimulus package. They want to make me feel good today when I leave from here. But let me tell you the problem with a stimulus package. It's something that's simple and it makes you feel a little bit better. And you can feel a little bit better because things can look a little bit better without having to deal with the thing that caused the problem. That's the problem with a stimulus package. It doesn't deal with the root cause of what you're dealing with. The problem with our feelings a lot of times are very real, and therefore you should never deny your feelings because they're very unreliable. Feelings are very real, so don't just skip over them. You feel the way you feel, and that's the way you feel. But what you cannot do is bank on your feelings, because they're very unreliable. Just like the seasons we go through change so quickly. Just like I told you before, so many times we come here, we feel okay, but they can change in an instant when we walk out the church door and somebody says something wrong to us, or somebody does something wrong to us on the highway. And that's the problem with stimulus packages. It'll get you up, it'll hype you up for the moment, but it won't change the location of your valley. And so God says to Ezekiel in verse 4, he says, prophesy to them, listen to the word of the Lord, because they need a divine word. They don't just need a stimulation. They need a divine word for their dry situation that they're going through. But it's still a hopeful word from God. Because God says in verse 5, he says, behold, I will cause breath to enter into them that they may come to life. I will put sinews on you. I'll put muscles on you. I'll make your flesh grow back. I'll cover your skin, put breath in you that you may become alive. And that's why it's so important that whenever we as a church pray for you, we can pray for you until our faces turn blue. But if you're not willing to change in your situation, you'll leave here just the same, and you'll continue your life just the same. God wants you to know He's Lord. And you will know that I am Lord when I breathe my breath into you. Until you realize that, He says that I am the Lord. I am the Lord. So while sometimes we come up with our packages and your stimulus packages, He says, until you are hooked into that and just want that out of church, He says, all I'm going to do is let something else break. Until you discover in your life that I, that means nobody else, am the Lord. That's why those youth camps are so important, because they pull the teens out of their comfort zone, take them into a week of a totally different scenario to where God can rattle their cage and speak to them. And so that they will know that I am the Lord. And so God says to Ezekiel, you speak to these dry bones and you tell them that this is how you got here. You got here from your rebellion. And now you're in a hopeless state, just like these bones. And you know it. And now I have your attention. And that is where I want you. Why? So now that I can have your attention, I can bring a word to you, because now you have been made ready to receive it. And sometimes it just takes a while for us to learn the right way. I know this week we had the grandkids for a couple of days, and we walked our dog around the block in the evening, and little Juniper and Roland, they loved walking around the block. Well, the next day, Juniper said, let's go walk around again. I said, Juniper, it's like noon. It's going to be hot out there, and Tater doesn't like the pavement when we walk him around the block. And she said, well, he walks in the grass like he did last night. You know, they kept after, you know, as grandparents do, they give in. And I said, okay, we'll go walking, but I don't think you're going to like it. And so we go walking around. About three quarters of the way through, she said, it's hot out here. And I don't think Tater likes it either. I said, that's what I told you. You got to learn to listen to Papo. I mean, I don't just talk to hear myself speak. I try to teach you things. And so, you know, sometimes we just don't get it. We just don't get it. And that's what Ezekiel was trying to tell the nation of Israel. Your dryness, though, and that's why I use the illustration of the bones, your dryness has been prepared to receive it, so now I can fix it. So you let them know about my plan and what my program is and what my prophetic word for you is and what the word of the Lord is to you, to be specific, to speak to your broken situation, so I can prophesy my thoughts to you and not just your thoughts on the situation. Look at verse 7. It says, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and I spoke what I was told to speak, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. So as Ezekiel's prophesying, he hears a noise, and there was this rumbling, and behold, you hear a click, 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 and the bones began to come together. The bone to bone, the toe bone got connected to the foot bone got connected to the ankle bone got connected to the leg bone got connected to the thigh bone, and the thigh bone, well, you know how the song goes. I figured I'd work that in there somewhere. But stuff started coming together. And that's what these young people are amazed down at Falls Creek. Things start coming together. They start hearing things happening. Now, sometimes it doesn't occur to the end of the week when God finally gets their attention and they got all their fun out of them and everything, and they're worn out from staying up late at night or whatever. But God has their attention, and things start working, and things start coming together. Stuff that was disconnected before, stuff that was confused, stuff that was disassociated or unrelated to one another, stuff that was disassembled, like all the giant puzzle pieces in a big box, now is becoming to get connected. And he said, when the word of God was spoken and responded to, then what started happening is connectivity. And where there was disassociation before and where there was disconnection for a very long time because these bones had become very dry. So they'd kind of been hanging out in confusion, frustration, argumentation, disassociation for an extended period of time. But when the word of the Lord was given to people who were now ready to receive it, because it became very, very dry, and they couldn't fix themselves, Ezekiel said stuff, and things started to shake, rattle, and roll. And until we come to church as a people and are ready to receive the word, we're not going to hear any shaking, rattling, and rolling of a lot of things. Because what happened here is they started to become connected. So guess what you now have? Due to this proclamation, Ezekiel said in the response, because the bones started responding, for the bones were moving in response to the word of the Lord. Once that began happening, you had order and you had organization. The bones began to come back together to where they belong, because things that were disconnected are now connected. So now you have order and you have organization. For now things are put back together correctly. Order and organization. But what you don't have now is chaos. Because you have bones now that were once disassociated. A toe may have been way over there, or a thigh bone way over here. Now they're connecting in the right place, in the right spot with one another, and you have order and you have organization. But you still have a problem with the order and organization. Verse 8 says, but there was no breath in them. Watch this now. You can have order and organization, but still have no life. Now you need order and organization. You need that. But what good is a body to have the bones connected if it's lying in a casket or a coffin? Now, if that body's going to go anywhere, then they do need the bones that are connected. But having the bones connected still doesn't mean that you're alive. Frankenstein had his bones connected, but he lacked life. And you can have all the programs and structure that's impeccable. You can have every leader that's in the right spot. You can have every person in the right chair. But that still doesn't mean that you're alive. That just means you organize well. But it doesn't change the problem. It just prepares you for your problem to be changed. Because one of the problems we have in today's Christian culture is that everybody's out of order still. You have men out of order. You have women out of order. You have leaders out of order. You have church members out of order. If someone doesn't like something that's said, they just go down to another church. And we have plenty of them around. We have everybody out of order, and we wonder why, and they wonder why themselves, that they're still in this valley. Why? Because they're out of order of where God wants them to be. The word of God is to put you in order. That's what it's for. Connect this bone with that bone so that the bones are in the right place, which positions you for life. But it doesn't give you life. You can read the Bible all day long and it can still be a dead book to you. And you know if it's a dead book when you're still in the valley and you know you're still feeling dry. But watch this, verse 9. He said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come out from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe on these slain so that they may come to life. So God's telling Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones, and now he tells Ezekiel to prophesy to the breath. Speak the word to a hopeless situation, the people, and then talk to the wind. The Hebrew word for breath can be translated in a number of ways. It can be translated as wind, and it can be translated as spirit. It's the same word. In fact, notice what he says in verse 14. He says, I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life. And now compare that with verse 9 when he says, prophesy to the breath so that they will come to life. So the breath is the same here as the spirit. Remember when the Bible said on Pentecost that the spirit came like a mighty rushing wind. And we even sing praise songs like that, Holy Spirit come. So when the Bible speaks about the wind spiritually, it's talking about the movement of the Spirit of God. Because Scripture says it is the Spirit that gives life. Now watch this. It's the Word of God that gives you order. And this is what God says you ought to do. This is the position we're supposed to be in as believers. It says to order yourselves, or order yourselves by the steps of the Word. Psalms 119 verse 133 says, establish your footsteps to your Word. Establish my footsteps in your Word. And do not let any iniquity have any dominion over me. So you make a decision in your life that says, I'm going to arrange my life, arrange my affairs. I'm going to choose to live for Christ. I'm going to rededicate my life. I'm going to arrange my relationships, my finances. I'm going to arrange myself according to the order of the Word, what God tells me I need to do, so that you have gives you order and organization in your life. And you know yourself as well as I in the past, you can make decisions to do that and still be frustrated while doing it. It's called the discipline of God. And you can make a decision to do it and be irritated that you have to do it. You can make a decision that you're going to do it even though the flesh tells you this ain't fun. What are you doing? Why? Because you've made an order decision without having the life to go with it. And that's why it makes it so hard sometimes in the Christian life to live, because so many are trying to get their lives in order without having the Spirit to help them. You need the life to go with it. And the Spirit gives life. John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, though, are Spirit and life," he says. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, says in Romans chapter 8, verse 10, Paul says, "If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness." And so God tells the prophet Ezekiel, in reference to order, he says, "You prophesy to the Word." Now watch this. I don't want you to miss this. You prophesy a word. Verse 4. You prophesy a word. But don't say anything to the Spirit until the bones respond to the Word. Spirit does not come until the bones respond to the Word. A lot of people want to get the Spirit when the bones haven't even responded to the Word yet. And if the bones haven't responded to the Word, there's not going to be the wind blowing of the Spirit. So the reason we're not getting the Spirit is that the bones have refused the Word of God. So the Spirit goes back and it doesn't move. That's what Paul talks about. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible calls the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is, he calls it, the Spirit of truth. So the Spirit wants to see truth in your bones moving. And now when the bones begin to move, then the prophet can call the Spirit, and the Spirit begins to blow, and it brings life to those bones now. So that now the bones are becoming limber, and they begin to move, and those bones can say, now this is working, and all this stuff I didn't want to do, and I really didn't like anyway, but now the Spirit of God is infusing in it, and it makes a totally different aspect I see on life now that the Spirit is here. You see, you either don't have the bones connected because there's no response to the Word, or else you haven't called the Spirit in, who gives life to the bones once they are connected. Because you must have Spirit, and you must have truth. This is why many churches, many denominations say, "I have accepted the Lord Jesus into my life," and they become saved as a believer. They got the bones connected, but they haven't given their life as to Jesus as Lord and Savior to let Him become master over it. So the wind's not blowing yet. And so they're growing up in church saying, "Well, I'm a believer. I accepted the plan of salvation. I said the sinner's prayer, and I'm still having a hard time of wanting to come to church," but they still not have to turn their life over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And until the Spirit of truth sees that in the believer, it's going to hold back. It doesn't mean that you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. Paul says that in Ephesians, as it we're promised a seed. But that seed won't blossom until you surrender yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ for lordship and feel the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is why you get so many people that have made childhood decisions to follow Jesus Christ, and they grow up in church, and many years ago, God comes back, and then they decide to get their life in order and organized in the Word and take the Word of God seriously, and the Spirit, and they understand who the Spirit of God is now, and it makes a totally different aspect on them, totally different outlook on life. And so, he says, what happens is the reason we're not getting the Spirit many times is because we have refused the Word of God. The Bible says a lot of churches have truth, but are dead with doctrine. They know all the Bible facts, but they do not have any life in them. And Bible doctrine's good. You need that. And then you have other people talk about the Holy Ghost this, Holy Ghost that, Holy Ghost this. It's all about the Holy Ghost. But their bones are disconnected. So you can say Holy Ghost all day, but if it's not connected to the Word of the Lord, it's not going to happen. The bones aren't functioning. They're arthritic bones. They're hurting. Something in you is calling out to Christ. I'm connected to the Word of God, but still I'm lacking something. The bones are calling out. They just don't have any life because they want that wind of the Spirit. But God says, if you get the bones right based on my words, then you can call upon the Holy Spirit to blow through your life, and He'll renew you. He'll make you alive. He'll make you hopeful, fruitful, and productive. But you can't prophesy to the wind, the Spirit, until you prophesy to the bones. And so Ezekiel couldn't talk to the Spirit yet until the bones became together. I mean, you can be praying all day long, God, change me. I want to do this in my life. Please change my life. And God's saying, but your bones are out of place. Your bones are still disconnected. Your bones aren't in harmony with another because you haven't responded to my word. If you align your bones, if you order your steps according to my word, then you can call on the Spirit, because the Spirit only responds to truth. He knows if we're telling the truth or not, or if we're just here for a stimulus package and come down and want all the blessings of God without really, really changing and wanting to change our will. I know this may sound harsh, but you know, have you heard the saying that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it? The same goes true with us. Until your heart is thirsty, you will not drink of it, because the Spirit is truth. So what happened to the prophecy of Ezekiel with these bones? In closing, look at verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they came to life, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. So how do you go from dry bones to a great army standing on their feet? Something supernatural has happened between verse 2 and verse 9. How long have those bones been dry? A very long time. So between verse 2 and verse 9, God can solve all the stuff that's been there for years. Between verse 2 and verse 9, it's only through a prophetic word and the calling upon the Holy Spirit that God can solve stuff there that's been there for decades. These folks have been out of God's will for a long time. But as you and I know, God can turn stuff around. Amen? He can order the bones, and then He can call the Spirit so that there's a supernatural transformation. And that's what some of these young people feel when they go to Falls Creek. They may have the bones in order by coming to church, coming to Sunday school, going to VBS, responding to this and that. But they go down to Falls Creek, and then God sees their heart. Once they're ready, and that Spirit comes blowing in, and they get revived. Things happen. Because meanwhile, if you don't do that, you're out spending money on all your stuff, and all you're doing is being greedy and just delaying your bones from coming together, delaying them from being as dry as they need to be until you depend on God for the Word to be heard so the Spirit can come and give life. Because God wants you to know what? He alone is God. Not Visa, not MasterCard, not your grandma, your grandpa, your uncle, your aunt, whichever one has the most money to bail you out. He wants you to know that He is God. And that's what God is after. Revival is when you become alive. Because we're dead. We're really dead spiritually, corporately, nationally. And the issue goes deeper than just a socioeconomic situation, because that's fruit, not root. It all goes back to our foundation. And right now, we need to talk to God about our own revival in our life, because it starts with you and I. It starts with our spot in the valley. Heard about a guy who had a problem in his house. His heater went out for a couple of years ago, and he says, when my heater went out, it just happened to be cold. You know those cold snaps like we get in Oklahoma that last a week, those sub-zero Arctic temperatures coming down. He says it was in the dead of winter and it was freezing. He says, so he calls the repairman over to fix it, and he calls him up and he says, look, my heater's broken, it's not working, I'm freezing over here. Will you come over and fix it because it just ain't heating up? And so the repairman, he comes over and he looks at the heater and he goes into the garage and he removes the heater cover and he looks over all of the heater's parts and he comes back to the guy and he says, your heater's not broken. It has all the parts. All the parts are connected. Everything's connected the way it's supposed to be. He says, but you do have a problem. He says, because in your heater, in everybody's heater, there's a little piece called the igniter. And he says, the job of the igniter is to send the message to the heater that says it's okay to warm up now. Because if the igniter doesn't send the message, then it's not your parts that are broken. It's just that they're not getting the word that it's time to come on. They're not getting the message that they're supposed to function. Based on the fact that they're organized right, every part's in its place, but it's because the igniter is not sending it. And likewise, in our message this morning, once you respond to the Word of God, that takes care of all the parts. It means all the parts are in their place and all the parts are working. But until the Holy Spirit quickens or ignites or brings to life, then the body that's now connected just doesn't get the message. And you can come here every week, be a very dedicated family, church family member, but if the Spirit does not speak, you'll hear the word that we're saying up here, but you won't get the message. And you won't get on fire for Jesus Christ. And you won't feel alive. Why? Because the igniter's not working. All the parts are in place, but the igniter's not working. God's word of power can reform us, just as the Lord of life breathed life into each one of us, that the Lord would be known for who he is. So don't give up on church, as frustrated as many times as you may be with it. Don't give up on people that are in the church. We're all just trying to work through this while loving each other. The Bible says we were dead in our transgressions and sins, but now we have been made alive through Christ, according to Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 5. Because the Holy Spirit enlivens. The Holy Spirit gives life to dried out souls. And so what we need to see today is there any area in our life that maybe has seemed to shrivel up a little bit? Maybe even die part of us. Maybe a relationship, maybe a talent that God has given you, maybe a gift that he has given you to further his kingdom. Maybe it's a call upon your life that he has given you. Then today, maybe it's time to ask God's Spirit to breathe new life into a dry situation. Let's pray. Father, we come together as true, sincere followers of you to kindly and fervently ask for the revival of souls in this age. Father, you tell us in Matthew chapter 7 to come and ask of you as our Father for what we desire. And so, Father, we desire for ourselves, for our friends, and for our family and neighbors to be open and to seek the truth of who you are. We invite the Holy Spirit to pour out onto the people whom you have made. We invite you to perform miracles. We invite you to perform wonders and to speak to the people that you have crafted with your very hands. Because you say in Psalms 139, Father, that you crafted each and every person and have hidden them in a place in your palm of your hand. And so we pray that truth will be brought to light in each and every person that you've crafted. And it's only by your Spirit that this truth can be truly known. And so we ask this day, Father, revive us. revive us in the heat that we're going through, though it may seem dry. We ask that you breathe new life into our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all the church said, amen.